This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:35 a.m. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Keith Kum. Now, in half an hour, we have the opening bell where we check out how Bursa Malaysia begins the trading day. But before that, let's turn our attention to labor laws. Now, if you look over to the U.S., according to the U.S. Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, they are the regulatory body that oversees the competition environment. An estimated 1 in 5 American workers are bound by what's called a non-compete clause in their employment contracts. The regulator sees this as a problem as it prevents workers from freely switching jobs.
So consequently, this week, the FTC banned the use of non-compete clauses in future employment contracts. In addition, currently existing non-compete agreements will become unenforceable after the rule takes effect. The only exception is for non-compete clauses in senior executive contracts, which are defined as workers earning more than $151,000 annually and who are in a policy-making position.
So the decision has sparked objections from employers and business groups, and it's widely expected to be challenged in court, which could delay implementation. So why are non-compete clauses controversial, and how are they applied in the Malaysian context? For perspectives on this issue under Malaysian law, we speak to Sunita Ruthram, advocate and solicitor at Sunita Ruthram & Co. Sunita, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us today. Can we start off with the very basic, right? What is a non-compete clause, and why would this be included in an employment contract?
Okay, first of all, there are two different aspects of non-compete. One is non-compete clauses in the letter of employment or employment contract, and separately, non-compete agreements. But effectively, these are contractual agreements that restrict employees from joining a competitor or starting a competing business within a specified time frame and geographical area, commonly 12 months, and specific regions such as Southeast Asia after leaving a company in terms of the Malaysian context. Now, employers are often require employees to sign these agreements to protect trade secrets, proprietary information, and intellectual capital. This is especially critical in industries that heavily invest in innovation, technology, research and development, as well as training their workforce. Mm-hmm. The primary intent of such agreements is to prevent employees from immediately using their knowledge and skills they have acquired to compete against their former employers.
Sunita, before we get deeper into the Malaysian context of it, I was just wondering if you could just clarify on how the US Federal Trade Commission see this non-compete clauses as problematic for workers' rights, so much so that they are banning this practice.
That's true. The FTC actually banned non-compete agreements to combat several issues identified as detrimental to the US economy and its workers. Let me confine these two basic issues, which is number one is wage suppression. Now, non-compete clauses have been associated with keeping wages very low by restricting workers' ability to move freely between job opportunities, which limits their leverage for better pay. Now, second issue is economic dynamism. According to FTC Chair Lina Khan, non-compete agreements rob the American economy of dynamism. Let's dive in, yeah, as to what this dynamism means. Number one is innovation stifling. Non-compete agreements can prevent employees from leaving their current jobs to launch new startups. This limitation reduces the overall rate of new business creation, a key driver of innovation in economic growth. Startups are often at the forefront of technological and service innovations, bringing fresh ideas and competitive pressures that challenge existing businesses to improve. Secondly, labor mobility. These clauses limit labor mobility, which is the ability of workers to move freely between roles and best suit their skills and aspirations. High labor mobility is often associated with faster career advancement and skill development, which in turn fosters broader economic growth and efficiency. So when employees are stuck in their current roles due to non-compete clauses, the entire economy can suffer from a misallocation of skills and a slower adaptation of technological changes and market demands. And of course, there are a few others like economic opportunity and competition, entrepreneurial spirit, and long-term economic growth.
All right, so you've highlighted some of the main issues with non-compete clauses that the US sees is worth regulating. What about in the Malaysian context? How prevalent are non-compete clauses here? And are we seeing similar problems as in the US in regard to this?
Okay, in terms of Malaysia, non-compete clauses are less common in Malaysia compared to the United States. Now, in Malaysia, such clauses are more frequently observed in employment contracts for mid-management and C-suite executives, either at the beginning of employment or occasionally post-resignation, often accompanied by some form of compensation. However, in Malaysia, companies are generally cautious about including non-compete clauses in contracts. This caution stems from the understanding of an agreement which unduly restrains an individual from exercising a lawful profession, trade, or business, which is considered void under Section 28 of the Contracts Act 1950, unless it qualifies under certain exceptions. Additionally, the Federal Constitution of Malaysia under Article 5.1 supports the notion that employees have the fundamental right to earn a livelihood. This includes the liberty to leave an employer and join a competitor, further complicating the enforceability of non-compete clauses. Now, while non-compete agreements are more prevalent and broadly enforced in the US, leading to debates over their impact on worker mobility and wage stagnation, in Malaysia, the legal environment is less conducive to their enforcement due to stricter legal standards that prioritize an individual's right to work.
Do you think that Malaysia should actually consider a similar policy, and what would the implications, what are the implications to be considered if they do?
In Malaysia, the legal framework, as I identified, Section 28 of the Contracts Act 1950, along with the limited exceptions, has already provided a balanced approach to protecting employees from undue restrictions while allowing employers to protect their legitimate business interests. This suggests that the existing laws may already strike a reasonable balance between the interests of employers and employees, potentially making a US-style blanket ban on non-compete agreements unnecessary. Now, implications in terms of a new directives. Now, in the event if Malaysia to introduce a directive similar to the US policy that bans non-compete agreements, employers might quickly turn to alternative legal instruments to safeguard these interests. Now, what sort of what kind of alternative legal instruments are we speaking about? Number one is non-solicitation agreements. That is, these prevent former employees from soliciting clients, customers, and even other employees of the former employer, helping businesses retain their valuable human and customer capital without restraining former employees from working in the same industries. Second is confidential agreements, right? Also known as proprietary information agreements. These focus on preventing the disclosure of sensitive information and can be tailored to protect trade secrets and intellectual property effectively.
It's interesting that you point out to all these other alternative legal measures that businesses in the US and I guess in Malaysia can use or would maybe look to use if non-compete clauses aren't on the scene. And I suppose those are trends that we're going to be watching over in the US as well. Turning our attention to other strategies that businesses employ to retain talent or prevent employees from joining the competition, would bonds come under this umbrella, employment bonds? You know, are there any rules governing the imposition of employment bonds by Malaysian businesses?
That is an interesting point that you've raised. Bond agreements are actually contracts governed under the Contracts Act 1950, where an employee agrees to work for the company for a specified period in return for the company's investment in their training and development. This often includes specialized training that can involve significant expense, such as purchasing equipment or funding travel for professional growth. If the employee leaves the company before the end of the agreed period, they might have to repay the investment cost. The duration of the bond should be reasonable, I must say. It must correlate sensibly with the amount of the company's investment and the time it would reasonably take for the company to benefit from the training provided the employee. The agreement should not impose undue hardship on the employee or restrict their fundamental rights, such as the right to change employment. It must not amount to an unreasonable restrictions on their future employment options, which could otherwise be seen as akin to indentured servitude or slavery.
Sunita, if we could just go back a little bit, what you said kind of like piqued my interest, because these non-compete clauses is less prevalent in Malaysia, but it still exists. Am I right?
That's right. It still exists. Many of the companies actually do adopt non-compete. Actually, recently I wrote on my LinkedIn an article on a case where a company, all right, an employee wanted to retire. Now, what they did was they got this employee to sign a non-compete and paid 90,000 as ex gratia payment. Now, the matter proceeded to court, and the court held that these tantamount to non-compete and therefore unenforceable. And in this case, the employer did not get the 90,000 back because the way the terminology, right, it used ex gratia. It was not a compensation for him not to compete, but it was more of an ex gratia payment in recognition of his services for the company. So it was shut down. So it is very rarely adopted by the courts or accepted by the courts as valid.
Would you advise then for employees today to go back and relook their employment contracts to make sure that you know, all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted? Like, you probably won't do that at the time, right?
I think a lot of employees, I think they do know that these clauses exist in the employment contract, but a lot of them actually reach out to lawyers and just to check and confirm, but they do know that it's not valid. But they are a bit more, but it creates an impression that, you know, it creates a fear in you if you want to leave,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You cannot know what employers can do. It's in fear of litigation. They do reach out, but it just does create a fear. But that's what I'm saying. It's better, rather than putting a clauses into the employment contract, it's better to get an agreement signed for the confidentiality agreement or a non-solicitation agreement. That is valid. That is valid because you can't go out, leave your current employer and take the entire employees or your teammates with you. And that actually destroys the current human resource structure of your former employer. That's not fair. And the entire intellectual property that goes with you, right? That means you're actually doing what to destroy your former employer's business in competition of the former employer's business. So in that sense, you know, that is not fair. And I think court will uphold such actions, you know, in terms of destroying the former employer's business.
Got it.
Sunita, thanks so much for speaking with us. That was Sunita Ruthram, advocate and solicitor with Sunita Ruthram & Co., talking to us about non-compete clauses, especially in the Malaysian context and how they apply. And it's so interesting to draw parallels or to compare the situation between our corporate environment here and also that of the US.
It is very, very interesting. And just for the record, I wasn't asking the question because I was thinking of leaving, but...
to reassure the bosses here, yeah,
yes,
Keith?
Yes, yes. And, there are a lot of implications there, you know, in terms of, you don't realize it, but non-compete clauses can lead to wage suppression, stifling innovation. I didn't even realize that it even prevents employees from potentially launching their own startups, for example, limits leverage for better pay if they want to move somewhere else as well.
I think what the US situation highlighted as well was the fact that these non-compete clauses exist for even professions like sandwich makers, where those who work in a particular sandwich store, if they were to leave, they were actually made to sign non-compete agreements that would prevent them from opening their own sandwich place or using whatever techniques that they learned at their current place of employment in a new place. And when you think about, wait, they're making sandwiches, like how that totally stifles competition and also livelihoods of others.
I do kind of agree that it should apply to C-suite personnel who are in the decision-making process, because they are in a very unique position to know a company's intellectual property, for example. They are also in a position to be able to bring customers to whatever competitor they move to.
Well, no doubt there's going to be a lot of debate over in the US about these developments. We'll keep following them and also see how it works in the Malaysian context as well. It's 8:49 in the morning. We're going to head into some messages, but we will come back to look at some of the latest earnings coming out of corporate America. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.